Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and welcome to my show. It's a beautiful day here in the South, and it is hotter than blazes. I bet it's really cool in a lot of other areas. My guest today is in the Northeast, so I'm sure she'll be happy to share all of her stories about the gray colored leaves and the cool nights, and I'm jealous. So today, we are going to continue our theme of naturopathic medicine awareness. You know, that is such a profound idea, naturopathic medicine. Most people I speak to, I live in the South, say, what the heck is that? I have no clue what you're talking about, and it's sort of like, man, that cement wall just went right up. They have no idea what it is, but furthermore, they aren't really interested because they don't see how it could possibly help them. So today, we are going to be talking about what is naturopathic medicine. How can it help me? And how does it affect or work with my stress that I have every day? Maybe a naturopathic physician could help me? I don't know. We'll have to see. Today in New Orleans, they had a great marathon. And the marathon was for Children's Hospital. And I had just before the show, I had the news on and they said, oh, it is so hot and humid. The runners aren't even making the 20 miles today. They're dropping like flies, and they're hooked up to IVs all along the trail. Isn't that crazy in October? But when we think about that, how far can we stress our body? Is it just because all of a sudden we say, hey, I'm going to do that, and I'm going to take it to the max, and I know I can do it? So like a runner, are you really pushing and pushing and pushing yourself against that wall until you do just keel over? And then something will just hit you in the face and say, I just can't do it anymore, and you need to fix me. And then we turn around and we're having stage 3 and stage 4. And, you know, maybe you need to look at hospice, or really you don't have much time left to go get your affairs in order. Is that how far we want to push this stress aspect in our lives? Now, like the runners, it's great that they can pump them up with some IVs and they're going to be good. But we've all known not so good stories in the past of runners who maybe didn't quite make it through. So let's not be one of those runners and learn about our stress factors every day. And is stress really, hey, my kids are screaming, my husband's a pain in the derriere, and, you know, man, there's something burning in the kitchen, and I'm just going to pick up my purse and walk outside. Is that really how we're dealing with stress? Because, as we all know, you still got to walk back in that door. So today, my guest is Dr. Danielle Wilson. She is a fabulous, fabulous naturopathic physician. She is in the Northeast. She went to Bastyr University, and we'll talk about that also throughout the show, about the different colleges of naturopathic medicine. She has a very good professional naturopathic care, and it really treats the whole body. But her focus is on stress. She will be, in the next several weeks, we hope, being able to release her book about the stress factors. And it will be called The Stress Remedy. So I'm sure we'll all be looking out for that, and Dr. Wilson will be talking about that today. So here we go. Do you feel stressed? I don't know. The beginning of the show, I always get these flutters, but I like to say, hey, it'll be all good. So here we go. It's Dr. Donnie. Welcome to the show, Dr. Donnie.
Thank you, Dr. Jeanette. I'm so happy to be here.
So all of the conversation in the beginning, how do you feel about all of this? How do you feel today? Are you having a great day today, or are you under stress?
Oh, thank you. It's I'm on Long Island today, and it's actually gorgeous here, although we definitely have leaves turning color. And it was the homecoming parade in town. My daughter was in the parade. So I'm feeling pretty relaxed, actually. That was very fun.
Well, that sounds great. We're all jealous. All of us who are hot are jealous. I haven't worn long pants since I don't know when, you know?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my
crazy.
Goodness. Yep. Oh, yes. Starting to get chilly here.
So can you give us a little bit of information about naturopathic medicine, where you've been, how you got to this place?
Sure. I was interested in nutrition from a young age, and that's what I completed my bachelor's degree is in nutrition as well as science. And it became really clear to me that I wanted to find a type of medicine that focused on nutrition, and that's when I found naturopathic medicine. And I was at that time living in the Northwest, so I didn't have to go very far to get to Bastyr University in Seattle. I grew up out in that area. And so that's how I found naturopathic medicine. And it just, to me, felt like it was exactly what I was looking for.
Wow, that's a really great. You grew up on the side that we would call. You already had an idea of what healthy living was about and good, clean air and being able to take care of yourself. And you, like you said, you didn't have to go far. So, and you were younger. And to the listeners, I always like to contrast because myself, I'm much older. And I grew up, you know, in the Northeast. We had Amish and we waited for the milkman to put the milk on the porch and blah, blah. But that soon faded away. And as time went on and I came back to the South, I learned that hey, everything is done certain ways. It's fried, it's sugar, it's fun, you know. And things kind of weren't green and healthy and taking care of yourself. And when I would say that to people, they would say, hey, this is the way it's done down here. Everybody likes to come here and have a good time. But then people that were living here were also doing that. So when I wanted to go to naturopathic medicine, it was a long time after that. When my kids started getting sick, I had four kids, and we just could not figure out what was going on with these kids, why they were always sick. And it turned out to be a genetic disorder, which was great that we found it out. But I had done so many drugs, so many therapies. And then finally, after we found that out, is when I found naturopathic medicine. I said, you know, got to be a better way. But that was when I was in my 40s. So to everybody that wants to know about naturopathic medicine, it's never too late. Dr. Donnie found it early. I found it later. Anybody can go to school. But also in looking at helping your own health, you know, when we have kids who are sick, or if we say, hey, you know, I really don't know. They are just telling me I'm not feeling well, and I'm pretty much into a really good chronic disease here. Can you help me? And the answer is yes. So I think naturopathic medicine is something for all the time, all ages, all conditions. So, Dr. Donnie, could you tell us a little bit about naturopathic medicine and how you work with your patients right now? I know you see patients of all ages, and you really help them a lot with nutrition and botanicals, homeopathy, but you also sit down and speak to your patients for an extended time to get to know who they are.
Yes, I mean, that's one of the things about naturopathic doctors in general is that, you know, it's well known that, you know, we are trained to, you know, spend more time with patients. I think that's for a couple reasons. One is we can, you know, because we're, you know, sometimes in the medical situations we're in, we do have more time. You know, we're really wanting to uncover underlying causes for patients, and sometimes that just takes time to sit down and understand their whole case. And I find that, you know, with my patients, I'm, you know, often really helping them to understand that I'm not going to look at just one system. So even if they come in with skin rash, for example, we're going to talk about everything from digestion to sleep to other symptoms that may be occurring in their body, because to me, they're all related. It's all happening in one body, so it must be related somehow, and I feel that that's my role, is to help them understand why these symptoms are showing themselves.
It's so interesting when you go to the doctor And he'll say, you know, I have, you go to your heart doctor, let's use an example, and you'll say, you know, I have a really bad headache. And he's like, well, go back to your primary care physician. And you would never do that.
Right, exactly. That's exactly it. It's where, you know, we look at it as these symptoms are just indicators that something inside needs attention. And we're going to be, you know, looking at the whole body and all the systems and how they interact. I talk about that a lot in my book, you know, how the systems interact. I call it synergy. And depending if the systems are working together in an effective way, we're going to have positive synergy and health. And when things start to go in a negative synergy, that's when you get into vicious cycles where one health issue leads to the next health issue. And I think that's for some people why sometimes if they're going to see different specialists, they feel like they're not getting an answer because it's probably a vicious cycle, you know, that's connecting these different scenarios together.
And I would sometimes relate our health to our car. You know, we take better care of our car than we do ourselves, you know. We take it out, we wash it, we change the oil. But if there's even one screw missing off of the car, what Dr. Donnie is saying about synergy, you would think if there's one screw off of your tire, that tire would have a little bit of a wobble in it. With that little tiny bit of a wobble, you look at it and you say, I guess I should fix that. But then if you don't have any screws there, you kind of forget about it and you get used to that wobble. And then maybe about 6 months or a year later, another screw falls off and you say, I'm noticing that wobble, it's a little bit more. But I really don't have, again, you'll say, I don't have screw or I'm too busy or it's the winter, it'll be fine. Maybe I just ran over a rock. When that third screw falls off is when you start to see the tire moving around. So I like to think about that in the same as in our health. You know, maybe we're getting a headache every once in a while. Maybe we have bouts of stomach issues. But then maybe we look at it later and say, my lower back is just really, really screaming. So how many times can we have these dings to the tire where the tire is going to fall off and how important that is? So that brings you right up to what you were saying about synergy and about how long do you wait before you hit that wall?
Yeah, exactly. And it's, you know, sometimes, you know, people are more in tune and they notice. Some people's bodies are more sensitive and they really can't ignore that little wobble, you know, and so sometimes we can catch it earlier. And other, you know, other times we just have busy lives and we, you know, just kind of deal with not feeling well until some other, you know, diagnosis is actually made or chronic issue, you know, becomes present. And then we definitely know we need to start understanding what kind of support our bodies need.
You know, I think it's really funny when people say, well, I kind of didn't notice it all along, you know, and yeah, you noticed it. When you're going to the football field and you're saying, my stomach doesn't feel good, I don't feel good. And then the next week you end up with, oh, I have pains in my stomach. By the third game and you're throwing up in the bleachers, do you think maybe you're going to notice it now, right?
I know. And sometimes, you know, you start to, it is, I mean, I think sometimes in our culture where we kind of learn to, like, ignore or avoid or, you know, just get distracted. And I think sometimes, you know, people are afraid, you know, it's like you become so afraid that there might be something that you just kind of hope it's going to go away. And that's a wonderful thing about naturopathic medicine is instead of being afraid of what might be happening in our bodies, we actually can look at it with a lot of acceptance and curiosity and go and be thinking, let's understand this so we can do something about it. And most times there's something we can do.
Yeah, you can't always push everything under the rug. Eventually it will seep through. You know, it just is what it is. So, Kim, let's start talking about your remedy for stress. I know in your book you talk about a lot of different things, but what is stress? And many people say, oh, I don't have any stress. I'm fine. You know, and they have all these things going on around them. And is that really stress for them, or are they feeling stressed? And that's such a huge difference for most people.
It is. It is. In the book, I have a quiz. There's multiple quizzes, but there's one particular quiz that is about helping people to understand how their body shows stress. And because it can look so different from one person to the next. Some people really know, okay, I'm busy all day. I never get to sit down and take a break. You know, that's going to be in the category of stress. And another person may be feeling anxious or overwhelmed or can't sleep. But other people, you know, they don't quite experience it as a stress. They just kind of go, oh, I'm fine. But it's when that's why testing, you know, we can do tests to understand how the body's been affected by stress. Then it really shows us, because really, as humans in this world, you know, life is stress. You know, we can't avoid it. It's just, in some ways, you know, we want to have some stress. It's good for us. But the key is when stress gets out of balance. And so, you know, I think part of it is just accepting and understanding we, you know, as humans in, you know, living on, in this world, we're going to have stress. So now we just need to understand how do I experience stress and how do I support my body under stress?
And I can remember when I had the four kids and I was a single parent and going to school at the time and working, it was okay that I tagged in, you know, those big daytimer books. I would still be stapling yellow legal sheets in there because there wasn't enough room to write down what I had to do each day. But I did it, and it, you know, and it went through, and each day flowed. But that's how I handled the stress because I saw it checked off. It was a good to go. But some people are thinking, I'm worrying about this. I'm worried about that. Oh, my goodness, did you see that happen? And there's so many things outside of us that we really have no control over. And maybe looking at stress in a different way is, do you have control over that? Are you really going to be able to influence that either way? So maybe you need to look at how you're responding to those things outside of you.
Oh, I love it. I love it. That's actually in the book. I talk about two possible sort of paradigms where one I call the superhero, which, you know, because you can, it's one thing to, yes, kind of look at stress and go, okay, is this something I can do something about or not? But sometimes what I find people fall into is the superhero where we just feel like we can, you know, try to control everything so that we're never going to experience stress. And I consider that a false, you know, illusion where, you know, we as superheroes, we can, you know, not be affected by stress. The other side of it would be the person who I call a Garden of Eden, which is when it's like, you know, if only we could have enough bliss and peace where we don't experience stress, you know, so... I think the more we can understand those potential patterns related to stress for ourselves, and of course, we can all probably identify with either pattern at any time. I certainly can. But then the more you can, you know, sort of become aware of, you know, how am I relating in my world and my activities currently? Am I, you know, trying to control everything and feel like I could make it through no matter what? Or, you know, or am I getting to a point where I understand, okay, I'm, you know, I need to support myself through under stress and through stress because then, you know, because this is the reality. Our bodies are living systems that are going to respond even, whether we tell them to or not. You know, our nervous system automatically is going to respond to light and sound and sleep and food and, you know, so many things. They're just going to respond. We can't control them.
You know, I think it is so incredible when we talk about certain things like we talk about stress and we say, I can remember when my daughter was going to school. And when she was going to school, I was, oh, goodness, I'm really worried about it. How is she going to do there? But the more I worried about her school, it really didn't make any difference whether I worried about it or not. So what do you feel with how the stress we feel with our kids?
Mm-hmm. No, it's a good example. You know, it's a very good example as parents, you know, because it's certainly a situation where we're, you know, where stress is going to happen no matter what, you know. It just, and just like any kind of, you know, being in the world and interacting with other people, you know, there's going to be situations that are going to trigger our stress responses. And so I think it's really about, you know, just becoming aware of that and supporting our bodies under stress. So we can talk more about how to do that too.
Well, great. Go ahead. You can speak about that.
Oh, great. I mean, one that comes to mind right away is getting enough sleep. You know, I mean, that's important for the kids too. You know, the more they get enough sleep and the more we get enough sleep. I refer to 7.5 to 9 hours of sleep every night, right? And that's such a huge stress recovery time. And it doesn't, you know, doesn't cost anything. It doesn't involve swallowing a pill. It's just, you know, helping to make sure you get in bed in time to get enough sleep. And if you're not sleeping well, to do whatever we need to do to help you sleep well. But sleep is such a stress recovery time and can make a big difference for, you know, for everyone.
And we always say we have to get sleep, but sometimes sleep is different for everybody. What mm-hmm. is restful sleep and what is sleep that will help nourish our body, right?
Yeah, and it definitely can vary. You know, there definitely is some variability in terms of, you know, and some people have certain schedules where they have to, you know, just really think through how am I going to make sure that I end up with enough, you know, some time for sleep. But what we definitely know from the research is that when humans don't get enough sleep, that it can stress the whole body and lead to health issues. So we, you know, we want to make it a priority that it happens.
So what I would also think about too is mm-hmm. that when people say about control, I can remember when my daughter was getting ready to go and move out of state for the first time a few months ago, and I was so stressed about her going, I have the worst headaches. It was just tense the whole way around. And I was making myself sick and I couldn't sleep, and they were coming to get her car to go on the car transporter. And when they put it up on the back and it's hanging off and it's got a half an inch, you know, and there's 10 other cars, expensive ones, underneath my daughter's. Hers is on top and on the end. And I'm like, oh, a half an inch, that's going to fall off and blah, blah, blah. And finally, I just, all of a sudden, the sun came out and I looked up to the sky. And I know this is crazy, everybody, so, you know, don't judge. But I looked up at the clouds and there was this cloud and it had like a woman's face in the cloud. And I can always remember my daughter would say, Mom, my car's name is Dolores Jenkins. All is going to be good. She always tells me and she takes care of me. So I looked up at the car and I said, Dolores, is this car going to be good? And the sun came out. And I went, okay, we're not going to be stressed mm-hmm. anymore. And it just kind of went. And it's like all of that energy and that waste and that time, it didn't make a hoot what I worried about, because it just vanished. And her car got there and she's fine. And that was months later, you know. And what do we really have control over, and what can we really let go, and how that looks yeah. different for everybody?
It does. It does. What a great story. Yeah, it's so true. You know, just, you know, because it's, even if someone probably had told you somewhere in the middle there, okay, just, you know, let it go, it would have been hard probably. You know, you kind of had to be in your process of realizing, you know, oh, okay, I can let go when you're ready. And sometimes it happens that way.
And that's super hard to actually recognize, you know, because you're going, oh, I just don't know. I just don't know. Can I do it? You know, can I not do it? And you do, you know. There are things in life when we have stress and we hit a very chronic disease or, like I said in the beginning, stage 4, this or that, or hospice. And you can worry and you can have all that stress then, but that's really where people have profound releasing of, I have no control. It is time to just let this go. and you worry and you listen to people and you know they're saying, oh, well, I all feel so much better, you know. And you have miracles at that time in people's lives because they are able to let all of that go. And
well,
why do we wait
gotta
until
be part
then?
Of, it's a great question. And I do think that that's probably why the research shows and people report how much better they feel with exercise, for example, meditation, yoga, prayer, because I think all of those activities give a little space, you know, so we can reflect on what's going on and maybe find that space to let it go, you know. But if we don't give ourselves those, you know, even 5 to 15 minutes to just kind of, you know, do either a physical activity like exercise or yoga, or it doesn't even have to be. It could be meditation or imagery. Like you, you know, here you are, you know, having this experience with the sky that allowed you to process the stress and let it go. It just shows us how important those activities are.
And how sometimes it can be as easy as the sun comes out. It can be as easy as saying, you know, there is absolutely nothing I can do about this. Nothing. And just say, okay.
Yeah.
You know? And people say, well, am I going to turn your back on it, or am I going to turn back on how I feel? And that's not what you and I are saying. We're saying, we're not saying turn your back on it. It's just say, have a different grip on it, a different hold on it, where it doesn't control you. You know, you can still worry about her. I worry about her all the time, you know? But it doesn't have that grip on my physical
right,
being.
And then you get to, you're sleeping. So, you're, you know, that's one way that sometimes people realize they're stressed is that they can't sleep, you know. And we were just talking about how important sleep is, you know. So it become, here you're, you know, your stress reliever is the main thing showing you that you're stressed. But right as soon as, you know, probably as soon as you had that experience and let this go and just started moving forward with this experience, then you were back to sleeping as usual.
So let's talk about stress in other ways, how you might say to somebody who's really up against it. You know, let's take the chronic stressor, somebody in their maybe 50s, 60s, 70s, and they're getting towards the end of their, you know, being able to have control and starting to learn to relax, but they really can't. How would you help them? And what would you suggest? Let's say, I love this, because 50s, 60s, 70s, it's all called about the heart time. And for me, when I call it the heart time, it's like your heart went out to your kids. Your heart went out to your job. Your heart went out to your life, how you wanted to create it. And now you're waiting for your heart to come back to you. Your grandkids come back to you. Your success is already accomplished. And you're bringing all of your energy back in, instead of always pushing it out. And what does that feel like sometimes when you're up against that stress factor, you know? Can you really bring in your heart energy, you know?
Absolutely. It's, oh, I love how you're, you know, really bringing acknowledgement to that, those processes. They don't always get very much acknowledgement. I think that's beautiful. And, you know, it's true that the way we experience stress and the types of stress vary with age. I mean, one thing that I start with patients, and, you know, I, by the way, I now have three locations where I see patients, one in Connecticut and the other two in New York. And I've been practicing here for about 13 years. And when I see patients in that age group, which I love to be able to support every age group, including where you're talking about, you know, what I often come back to is making sure that they're feeding themselves food regularly through the day. Because sometimes when you're in that situation, you almost, you know, you lose track of eating patterns, or you kind of push through. Say if you're, you know, you're working a long day and you just figure I'm going to make it to the end of the day and then eat. Or, you know, maybe people who you used to eat with are no longer there and you kind of lose your patterns of eating. It's amazing how much just having little small amounts of food with some protein in there like every, I always say no more than 4 hours between. So if your clock shows that you haven't eaten in 4 hours, then it's definitely time to eat something with protein in it. It's amazing how much a difference it makes. People report back to me 75 or 80% improvement in the way they're feeling just by making sure that they're eating throughout the day.
And eating is so important, and we don't even believe that, but we always think about eating as, hey, you know, it's vitamins, it's this, it's that, or it's what I feel like, or, man, I'm really dying for a pizza, you know, that kind of eating. And it doesn't even faze you at all that really what you're doing is you're putting gas in your car. I think of it basically
exactly.
like that. You know, if you don't have any gas, you're out to lunch, you know, and the oil in the car is your greens. You know, are you going to keep these things going? Are you going to keep it moving along? And they're like, I put gas in my car. I eat at the fast food place. And I said, okay, I want you to list me every single vitamin that your body needs that was in that food. And they're like, I don't know. You know, because I live in the deep south, I've seen this on every show. Here, they order a quarter pounder with no salad. And everybody says, what the heck is that? Well, here they all know. No salad means no pickles, no lettuce, no tomato, no onions. They get the meat, the cheese, the ketchup, and the mayonnaise. So how can you even expect your car to run with no oil? You know? And
that's exactly it. And sometimes I think we wish that our bodies had a mechanism where, like, if we run out of gas, like, we think there's an extra tank somewhere. But there's
right.
not, you know. There's just not. We have to keep feeding ourselves, or else our bodies are going to go into more of a stress mode. So, you know, if you can even just find ways to help feeding yourself throughout the day, it's amazing how much more your body's going to respond for you and keep up with what's ever going on.
And we expect our bodies to heal. So if we have a headache or a really bad stomach ache, we just expect, hey, I'll throw up, I'll get sick, I'll drink some Coke, and I'm good to go, and my body healed. And that is so far from the reality, because that process will continue to repeat in different aspects of your body and eventually end up into something else, which is the core of naturopathic medicine's belief, is that if you don't heal something, you don't address something, eventually it's going to come into something else. And I think it's the same with stress, but if you don't address it and be able to say, how did you get here? How can you remedy right now? And then how can we nourish it to not happen in the future?
Well, that's the thing a lot of patients report back to me is that, you know, it's this paradox. Of course, when we're the most stressed is when it's the hardest to make sure we get something to eat and take care of ourselves and have those moments for meditation. And that's when we need it most. You know, so just, you know, reminding yourself that if you keep those activities going regularly, then when you're stressed, hopefully you'll still have that in place and go to it right away. You know, it's almost like we're preparing all the time for when we're going to have stressful moments. But also when you are stressed and you're like thinking, okay, it's just this one week I have to power through. I mean, this past week I was running the 9th annual conference for the naturopathic physicians in New York. And that's the kind of week where I have so much on my to-do list. You know, I could stay busy all day long and into the night. And it would be tempting to, you know, just skip on sleep and not eat, and you know, just because I'm so focused on getting ready for a conference. And you know, what I found is, you know, especially this past week I made it a priority for myself. I need to keep up with my sleep. I need to make sure I have snacks nearby. You know, I'm just keep some almonds and dried fruit in my car, or a protein bar in my bag, and you know, just so that I can at least have something quick that I can have and keep my body going and keep up better.
And eating is definitely important throughout the entire life. I mean, we're not so anxious to have, when our kids have enough teeth to be able to chew McDonald's French fries. you know, I don't know how many parents say, oh my gosh, look at her, she's crying. She really wants what I'm eating, and I'm eating French fries. It's like, no, she's not crying because she wants what you have. She's just that normal response of, I want, I want, I want. It's not about your French fries. But then when you have, you know, I'm working with a lot of end-of-life clients right now, and you have people saying, you know, I really don't feel well, and the doctor gave me this, and things seem to be snowballing downhill. When we stopped and looked at it, there were two things some important clients were really missing. Was one was they were really looking that someone would start asking them annually or weekly or daily or monthly how they felt instead of coming to them all the time for to take away from them. They wanted to have nourishing things brought to them. They wanted someone to nourish their soul. They wanted someone to come and visit them. You know, they were looking for that. But then also another client where she had just been getting a prescription medication, didn't feel good, and I said, what are you eating every day? And it was like, well, you know, I went out to eat, but I brought it all home in a box. It's like two forks full of food a day in your 70s is not food. And all we changed was, you know, you can't go to work in the morning till you've had an egg and a toast. And we did this for like, I think it's been about 4 months now. And that's all that changed. But it changed her world.
Yeah. It really can. It can, you know, you'd be surprised how much of a difference it makes. And it's because it's helping the body to not go into a stress mechanism. You know, when we skip meals, that's what happens. Now it's another stress in addition to whatever stress is going on in your life. So why add another stress? You know, might as well, you know, take steps to, you know, limit the number of stresses so that your body can keep up better.
And for stress, I know in naturopathic medicine, we use homeopathy and botanical medicine and nutrition and, you know, counseling times. So can you tell us a little bit more about other therapies you use?
Well, definitely. I mean, so there's diet, and then in my practice, work a lot with what I call clinical nutrition, which I think it's important to clarify because it's not just, you know, any vitamin. We look at the research and we understand doses that help with specific conditions and issues in the body. So it's a very scientific and specific approach to using nutrients and other supplements. And that's definitely a way that we can support the body under stress because we know which nutrients can, for example, build what I call the body's stress buffer. You know, we do have in our nervous system basically a stress buffer where we can be less affected by stress. So if we are noticing more symptoms when we're, you know, whether it's anxiety or sleeplessness or anything else related to stress, then perhaps those specific nutrients, for example, theanine is an amino acid that supports the stress buffer, and it can make a big difference when a person's under stress.
And also when we talk about nutrition, people say, am I supposed to be drinking that green drink you're carrying around in a mason jar? And that's not really what you're saying.
Right.
That's great for some people, but it's not for everyone.
Yeah, you really have to individualize it. So it's not like, oh, you have to fit in this certain model or do it this specific way. Really, our goal is for you to understand your body, what it needs, and make it doable for you. Because if it is something that would be like, you know, no way am I going to have that green juice in a mason jar, but maybe there is something else that feels, you know, doable and realistic to you, that's what we want you to do, you know, because there's many ways to get to that same outcome.
And stress might be that you do miss your meals. So you may feel stressed over missing meals, or you may feel stressed that you aren't able to get the right food, because a lot of people right now don't even have the budget for the right foods. So I like to tell people, what can you afford and what can you get? And work within that paradigm, because we don't want to stress you out saying, you really need to eat organic, and it's like, well, I can't. Or, I really need you to eat frozen, and you're like, well, I'm not going to tell her I don't have a refrigerator. You know, People, you have to really meet them where they are and know that.
There's a chapter in my book where I lead people through, first of all, what their values are and then their goals. So for one person, the goal might be, you know, just being able to have anything to eat every 3 to 4 hours. Another person's goal might be, you know, to be able to eat something organic every 3 to 4 hours. But we really want to help, like you're saying, help people identify where they are. And the steps can be as small as needed. I have one patient who jokes with me saying that, you know, instead of baby steps, she was taking fetus steps, which I thought was perfect. You know, you can take as small as steps. The most important thing is that it's steps that work for you and help you to know you're on this path. It doesn't make sense to have giant leaps that end up bringing you right back to where you started. You know, that's not useful. We want to have steps that actually you can accomplish and feel like you're getting somewhere so then you can get to your next goal.
And now here in the South, we're having a lot of issues with our water because of the amoebas in the water and the water systems being challenged right now. So everybody is doing this run on plastic bottles. You can't find bottled water in this town to save your life. And we always say, oh, well, just, you know, those plastic water bottles, and they have all of those other chemicals in the plastic, and on and on and on. But that's a perfect example of you need to do what's right for you at that certain time in your life. And I can remember after Hurricane Katrina, everybody said, oh, I need to drink water, it's so hot. And all of the FEMA places would have these cases and cases of water bottles, and they were outside in the 110-degree sun for days and days on end, and they brought them inside and threw them on ice. And you're wondering why when you open it up, it smells like plastic. But you really didn't have a time to say, I'm going to be stressed about the chemicals in my water. You just plain drank it. So there are times when you really need to just let go and just say, you know, I'm doing the best I can do today. And if it fits into what you were asked to do or told to do or suggested to do or whatever, great. And if it doesn't, it's great too. So we're not saying, Dr. Donnie and I are not saying, hey, you're going to wake up and, you know, it's going to be a glorious day and the sun's going to be out and everything's going to go your way. What we're saying is just cut a little bit of the edge off, you know. If you go to yell at your child because she's going to drop your favorite vase, maybe just instead of yelling at her, maybe run and just try to catch it. So it just took the edge off of it, because it's really easy to get tangled up into this thing where they just mount and mount and mount, and then everybody in the house is stressed out. And that's just really not a good place to be. So, Dr. Donnie, could we talk a little bit more? We have about maybe 10 minutes. And about what you would suggest for someone to be able to just take an edge off it for today. Just what would you say?
Well, let's see. I call them the daily stress remedies, and some of them I've been referring to, like meditation and yoga. But another favorite stress remedy is just taking a walk. Even better is if you have a pet, you know, like a dog, take the dog for a walk. Those are things that, you know, definitely just, even if it's 10 or 15 minutes, it's amazing to just walk around the block, how much that helps to reset the stress response. What happens when our bodies are under stress? You know, you gave some examples of things that could trigger that stress response. Then our bodies have a self-correct mechanism where it's going to turn off the stress response. But sometimes, especially when we're under stress for, you know, recurrent or long-term stress, it becomes harder for our bodies to turn off the stress response. And so these are activities that can help do that, things like going for a quick walk. Or another one is gardening, you know, so even if it's, you know, and I call it experiencing nature. So, you know, even you don't even have to be outside to do it. You can even do it by looking at pictures of nature. But what the research shows is by experiencing nature, it helps us to rebalance our stress response. So those are some things you can do, you know, that are just, you know, in the moment you realize you're like, you're at the, your limit, you know, and you're like, okay, I need to just go take a break, take a walk. Or another great one, Dr. Jeanette, is music. When we listen, yeah. And often I forget this, and then I go turn on the music and I'm like, wow, I can't believe how much our bodies respond to music. Really can be any music. And they do make special music that especially helps calm the stress response. But, you know, just listening to music is a great remedy.
You know, I can remember music. When I had the four kids in the car and they'd be fighting in the back because, you know, you have to put three kids in the back seat at that time. In the 80s, we didn't have all of these other big cars that are out now. But anyway, I would, as soon as they started, it'd be turn the music up. They'd be yelling and screaming. I'd say, I can't hear the music. And then I'd turn it up even louder. Eventually, they would just plain stop. And one time when they didn't stop, I just turned off the music, pulled my car over to the side, got out of the car, and I said, let me know when you're finished. Because I just can't go on anymore with that, you know. So you just have to shift something. And then when I got back in the car, I turned the music back on and just kept driving, and all was good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's something
simple.
And they
need it, too. Yeah, you need it, and they need it, you know, because their bodies are going through stress response, too, you know. And, yes, it definitely can be something simple. I mean, we definitely also have, I mentioned a little earlier, there are tests available that show us how your body's responding to stress. So we can measure the stress hormone called cortisol. Either in the blood or in the saliva. It's even more effective if we measure it in the saliva because it changes naturally during the day. It should be high in the morning and gradually down through the day. So if we measure in a saliva sample the cortisol morning, noon, and night, we can see how your stress hormone is responding on any given day. And then if we find that the cortisol levels are too low or too high based on optimal ranges, then we can use even more of these techniques we've been talking about that help correct the cortisol levels. But we can also use specific nutrients and herbs that help get the cortisol level back into the optimal range so that your body's already starting from optimal. It's not that we can eliminate the stress, right? We know the stress is going to happen. But what we can do is we can help our bodies be prepared for whatever stress comes along.
So food and drink, and then later on botanicals and supplements, is what naturopathic medicine uses right now to be able to help you balance your body back out where stress may be pulling things away from you and it just kind of nourishes you back in. And I think that's what you're saying mostly to all your clients, correct?
Yes, exactly. Let's nourish your body so that it can be in a place where whatever comes along, you know, you have a healthier response and you're less likely to have symptoms related to it. Because if we don't pay attention and we don't support our bodies under stress, inevitably, at some point, some symptoms are going to start. In fact, we know from the research, I think this is so interesting, from the research, when cortisol levels and stress levels are consistently off, out of balance, it's going to affect four major systems in the body, Dr. Jeanette. It can affect digestion, which a lot of people can relate to that, right? It's like heartburn, bloating, you know, diarrhea. That's all a stress response straight to the digestive tract. Another major area is the immune system. Yeah.
And you wonder why when you're really stressed, your stomach hurts. So that's exactly what you're saying.
Exactly it. The stress, one of the most common places people experience stress is in the digestive tract. The other area, there's four of them. The second one is the immune system, which a lot of people do, you know, they experience when they are under more stress, they're more likely to catch a cold or have some immune system issue that develops, even allergies. And that's how the stress affects the immune system.
And what I like to think about it as is if you keep taking and taking, eventually your body is running on nothing. But those processes in your body that are supposed to be helping you stay well, helping your eyes move, helping your heartbeat, helping your stomach digest food, those things aren't happening as well. And if you don't give it all of the support to be able to run those functions, then it's really not doing the job. Similar to when a car, you may be going down to the end of your brakes and they start squeaking, eventually you'll just get to where the rotors will lock up. But you can't just ignore it, because then you're running on nothing. So basically, our bodies are the same thing. You'll be running on nothing.
Exactly, and that's what's in the case of the other two systems that get affected by stress. That's exactly a great analogy, because one of those other systems is hormones. You know, all the other hormones, insulin to regulate blood sugar, thyroid, and even the sex hormones. So if we're under stress and our hormones drop, we're not going to feel good. We're going to be tired. We're more likely to gain weight. Our mood is going to fluctuate. You know, so it's exactly it. You're running on nothing, including your hormone levels all decrease when we don't support ourselves under stress.
So, Dr. Donnie, we have about 5 more minutes left. Can you give us you already gave us some tips. I mean, going outside and enjoying it and really looking at things that are going on. But if someone is super up against it, they can always contact you and you'll be able to refer them to someone else in their area, because this radio show is global. If anyone has any questions, they can contact you. If you could give us some information about how that they can contact you and find
out
more information.
Thank you. My website is drdonnie.com, which is just drdonnie.com. And if people want to find out more about my book, it's called The Stress Remedy Book. So you can just go to thestressremedybook.com. And I'd love to hear from you and your experiences and to be able to show you more about how to support yourself under stress. And if you're looking for a naturopathic doctor in your area, you can definitely go to the National Naturopathic Association, which is the AANP, and they're at naturopathic.org.
Great. So anybody would be able to contact you directly and possibly get an appointment with you and speak with you about how you would help them with their stress, because some people are just, I can't do it myself. I just really do need help.
Absolutely. And again, we want to individualize it. So, and we are individuals, you know, just based on our genetics and how each of our bodies respond to stress. It looks, you know, it's going to look different in every person. Some people may be more digestive symptoms. Some people it may be immune system issues. And in some people, it's all of those areas that are showing stress, and we can support on all of those levels.
And so we're at the end of the show, Dr. Donnie. I'd like to thank you so much for being with us. And you can give us your website again and what area of the country you're in.
Well, I'm in the tri-state area, which is New York, Connecticut, New Jersey. I have 3 office locations. And my website is drdonnie.com, which is drdonnie.com. My practice is called Empowering Wellness Naturally, and I would love to hear from anyone who is interested or has questions. I'd be happy to help. I do help patients around the world, so be happy to hear from you. Thank you so much for having me.
Great. Thank you so much for being with us today. So if anybody would like more information about Dr. Donnie, her link is posted on today's show page, and you can contact her directly through that link. And if you'd like any more information that you're not able to connect with her, or if you'd like some other information about naturopathic medicine, please check out some of our other shows this week. We've had 7 shows with other naturopathic physicians on various topics, and hopefully you will be able to start joining in this language. I know it seems foreign, but it's not really that foreign. And once you get into it, you'll say, you know, I really would love to have somebody help me with my health. So until tomorrow, thank you so much for being with us today. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and have a great day. Thank you.